Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And Dave, in studio with me too, father of five. And we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. And we teach our children these things all the time. And we're going to talk about an issue today that I bring up pretty often as we discuss the Proverbs in our family worship time. In the mornings, as we get together, we typically have a family worship time of about an hour together each day. And Dave, today a couple of stories, really interesting stories relating to the lottery. First is a Michigan church wins $70,000 in the lottery. This is an AP story. Divine intervention or just plain luck is the way the story is headed. And I'll tell you what, I'll answer that right away. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So we know that lots are cast, but God's got the disposing of it. He knows what's going to happen, and he has dictated what is going to happen. And apparently Pastor Marilyn Parmalee is the pastor of this Covenant Life Worship Center, 25 members, Hazlett, Michigan. And she tells the Lansing State Journal that the prize money will go toward the church building fund. So apparently we've got a little gambling here paying off for the clergy's in skirts. I assume the Marilyn is a woman.
Maybe they could have slot machines in the foyer. You know, just let people come in. And
Dave, that is no joke. I had a friend who attended a Lutheran church in Nevada several years ago. He came back. He said, yeah, they had slot machines in the back, and they were encouraging people to play the slot machines in the church because that would contribute to the church building fund. So you were going for something satirical there. Be careful, Dave. They're already ahead of you on that one.
You know, what's next? I mean, are you going to have bingo nights?
Oh, yeah, Dave, there are bingo nights all over the place.
Really?
For churches, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, bingo nights?
I'm sorry, Dave. I know you're trying to be sarcastic and satirical today, but it's not working for you.
Wow. Well, maybe going to church is a gamble, at least if you don't pick the right one.
Well, you know, Dave, as it turns out, I need to raise about $600,000, $700,000 for our Shepherd Center and our new facility for broadcasting. Right now we're in our basement here in Elbert County, Colorado, and we would like to really do this Shepherd Center. We're really hot to trot on this thing, and I'm thinking, you know, this is a great cause, and maybe I should play the lottery for the $1 million or so that we need. Maybe I should do that. And we're going to discuss that in just a moment on Generations. Folks, lottery. Should Christians play lottery, even if it's for a great cause, like the Shepherd Center? Be back in just a moment.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson trying to raise $600,000 for our Shepherd Center, and a very important part of the ministry vision here as part of the Generations Radio program. And again, these are for new studios. We're going to bring in intern systems, and we're going to be discipling young men with a Shepherd Center. And it's going to, I think, dramatically change the way that we do ministry as part of church ministries. And so in order to get the Shepherd Center going, I need to raise $600,000. And Dave, I mean, we could do this one of two ways. Either we could have people fund this, and we could have people right now send checks in and support our ministry program. Or I could go play the lottery. So, ladies and gentlemen, I guess it's your choice. Either we're going to get this from our donor base, or I got to go out there and play the lottery. So, you know, what's going to happen here?
Well, I think you ought to reconsider, Kevin. You have lots of gambling options. There's the lottery, the lotto and the quick pick, the scratch games, the national lotto. Of course, you'll get way too much money then, and that could destroy you. So you don't want to play probably the big lotto. The $25 million would be too much. Don't you think that'd be overdoing it? You know, that would send the wrong message to the interns. But you could also play the horses, the dogs, the stock market. But maybe I'm thinking there's a way to combine these two ways. People, if you were going to send, say, $20 a month, send $19 a month and spend a buck on the game. And if it, you know, that way we have lots of people gambling.
Well, now there's an idea. You're thinking, Dave, maybe instead of them sending in the $20, they take the $20 and everybody who's listening right now should just go play the lottery and then I'll just take, 50%. Or 10%. We'll tithe. We'll just do a tithe. So whatever winnings there are, we take a tithe of it and build a Shepherd Center with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That might work. Of course, we have to count on God to bless somebody in order for that to work.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to spend just a little bit of time talking about gambling today on the Generations Radio broadcast. And, Dave, as you talk about gambling, you know, initially people always come back and say, well, life is a gamble, and there are risks everywhere. So anytime you play the stock market, you just mentioned that, of course you're going to be gambling to some extent or another. And because life is a gamble, whatever you do, you're going to wind up probably risking some money here and there. You're going to risk some time, the things that you do, especially if you're an entrepreneur. And in the end, you may not gain what you intended to gain in the process. So life is a risk. Life is a gamble. Therefore, should we refrain from gambling? Should we refrain from doing any kind of risk-taking activity at all in the which we might stand to gain some money in the process? That's the real question. And a lot of people debate these sorts of issues. Now, Dave, years and years ago, this would have been about 20 years ago, I was in Las Vegas, got a roll of nickels, and I did the nickel slots and kind of participated in the whole gambling thing in Las Vegas. And I had the experience. And a couple of things that came to mind, and I never continued it. That's for the birds. I didn't continue with the gambling thing. And whenever I go to Las Vegas today, I don't even bother dropping a nickel. And by the way, we wind up going to Las Vegas from time to time because we in-laws there, and we spend some of our vacation time in Las Vegas visiting in-laws, and from time to time we're going to wind up in a casino having a meal at one of the great buffets, and so, you know, we enjoy some of the food in Las Vegas, but there are slot machines everywhere you look, and you can sit down and you can enjoy this kind of entertainment if you want to. But, you know, my experience was not really a good experience. I really felt that there was a huge idolatrous aspect to the gambling. In other words, when you walk in there, it's all about money. Money, money, money. This is the money god. This is the temple of the big bucks in America. As you know, we worship materialism here. We don't worship the living God. Nobody is out there, you know, thank you, God. I guess from time to time there's somebody out there praying that God would help them win. But it's all about the money. It's about the money. They want the money. And you even have the liturgy. And you have the smells and the bells. Okay? I mean, smells and bells. Same kind of thing you have in a worship service you might find in some kind of an Orthodox church of some sort. You're going to smell. You're going to smell the smell of smoke. You're going to hear the bells of people winning. You're going to hear the coins clanking. And all of that's part of the liturgy. And you get caught up in this. And before you know it, you're focused on winning that money. And I can see the potential for addiction. I can see it. Now, I don't think I ever came close to addiction. And I wasn't really all that fond of the money. And I wasn't really that interested in the chase. But, boy, people get wrapped up in that pretty quick.
They do. I think they get addicted to the adrenaline and the love of money, the riotous living. I think for so many people, they want to become the prodigal son but never return to the father. They really enjoy the part of the story where the son is out in his riotous living. They say, yeah, that's what I want. I want to have riotous living. Wine, women, song, money, the whole nine yards. And, of course, that's what Vegas is about. Vegas is about riotous living. That's the God that they're serving. The love of money is the root of all different kinds of evil. Not to say money is wrong or money is evil. But it's that love of money because we don't see wealth through God's eyes. Wealth, in God's eyes, is this commodity to build his kingdom, not something to be thrown around in reckless, riotous living.
And there's such a lure to money, this idea that you're going to be happy if you win the next lotto. If you win that slot machine take, you are going to be happy in the process. And Dave, here's the guy who won the largest jackpot in the history of gambling, Jack Whitaker. I show my children this all the time. We just did a devotional through the Proverbs from Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And I read that, and then I said, hey, children, think about Jack Whitaker. He's got the record for winning the largest jackpot in the history of the lottery. And I show him the picture, Dave. Show him the picture. I always show him the picture of Jack Whitaker. I've shown him the picture probably 20, 30 times before. Have you ever seen a more miserable man in your life? I mean, just look at this picture. I mean, obviously, anybody listening to the radio program right now is not going to see this. But, Dave, I want you to interpret this picture to the radio listening audience.
That is a picture of a man who has lost much, perhaps gained the whole world, and yet lost his soul.
That's the most miserable man I've ever seen. I mean, you talk about a frown he's got. I mean, he looks like he's been through the mill. In 2002, he won $315 million when he bought a lottery ticket in Hurricane, West Virginia. And then, since then, he's been arrested for drunk driving. Thieves robbed him on several occasions. He was arrested for a misdemeanor assault on a bar manager. He was sued for assaulting a woman at a dog racetrack. His granddaughter was found dead of a drug overdose in September of 2003. His wife filed for divorce in May 27, 2005. He was sued by a casino in Atlantic City for bouncing $1.5 million worth of checks. Then his daughter was found dead just last month, July 5, 2009, in Daniels, West Virginia, believed to be the victim of foul play. Now, okay, this is what happened. So God, I believe God gave him that money. I believe God gave him $315 million, and then he cursed him. He said, okay, I'm going to give you $315 million, and you're going to be the most miserable man that ever lived. God is the one who blesses people. God makes rich, and God adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. David, people are seeking happiness. They seek joy from money. But joy doesn't come from money. Joy comes from God. And Dave, maybe this is the real nub of the issue here. People who seek happiness in Las Vegas are not going to get it. If you seek happiness in your $315 million lottery win, you're not going to get happiness that way. You got to seek it in God. Otherwise, you're not going to get it. Otherwise, you're just being idolatrous. You are seeking your fulfillment from something that just can't give you that fulfillment. And those gods will beat you to death. Now, you have a god of wine, of women, of money, of power. If you make these things your god, it will beat you to death. You will not be happy. But if you seek happiness in the God who is good, the God who can give you that happiness, you will be happy. You will be blessed.
And that's how God cursed Mr. Whitaker. He gave him his idol. He said, you want to worship money? Fine. Worship your idol. See what it provides you. It provides you death. It provides you misery. Our idols always provide us misery. Though we think we love our idols, like you said, they will beat us to death. And when God abandons a man and says, go ahead, you want your wine idol? See how your wine idol provides for you. When you wake up drunk in the gutter, maybe, you'll turn to the God that is and repent of this. Or if you make sex your God, and you wake up with AIDS and divorce and alone. It doesn't matter what that idol is. If it's not the true and living God, it will disappoint.
Talking about gambling today on Generations, should I play the lottery to win the $600,000 we need for the Shepherd Center? Haven't done it yet. Haven't done it yet. We're going to Plan B here, though, Dave. Plan B is to work hard, work to the glory of God, and then ask him to bless us with a Shepherd Center if he so desires that we fulfill our vision in life for the kingdom of God by that means. If that's what God wants, then God will provide. I believe that. But Plan B is take them in and go out there and work. And, of course, this is what people are thinking. I can get rich quick by means of this. And, again, the Proverbs say this is not the way you are to live your life. Don't seek to get rich quick. People who get rich quick typically are those who are the most miserable people in the world and wind up losing that money and are unable, they lack the character to retain that money and spend it and use it and invest it in the way that God would like us to do that. And they spend it on themselves and wind up, of course, destroying themselves in the process. Well, Dave, we also, I think, have this distinction between play and dominion. When we talk about risk, we talk about gambling, we do things in life that do constitute a gamble. I mean, if we form some kind of a ministry, as I formed this radio program at one point, I had to put a lot of my own money into the program early on to keep this thing on the air for the first 3 to 4 to 5 years. And over time, the donors came forward and they began writing the checks for the radio program. And now, thanks be to God, as of this year, actually just this last year, we have been solvent. And I'm thankful to the Lord for this and thankful to the donors to this radio program. But it was a risk to start this radio program, as a risk to myself and to my family and to the ministries that were part of this, including Christian Home Educators of Colorado. So life is a risk. Dominion is a risk. But I think people like to gamble because they like to play. And let's focus on this for a minute. You know, they will engage in Wheel of Fortune, or they'll play that poker game, or they'll run that race because there is that reward of $500 if they do it well. So there's always this idea that there is this reward if they play well. And it kind of gives a little motivation to the game itself. And people get wrapped up in the game and they start enjoying the game. And after a while, you get a culture that entertains itself to death because they're focused on play. And here's another problem, Dave. I think the culture is way too wrapped up in the adrenaline rush they get in the play, in the game.
Well, of course, we're taught that you should enjoy your work. So even our work, if it's truly work, is thought to be a kind of play. We're raised looking at our sports heroes who play for a living and are compensated incredibly well for being able to put a ball through a net or to throw a pigskin down the field. You know, they play for a living, and that's what we idolize. We want to become those who play for a living. I mean, you talk about getting rich quick. It's not just the speed of getting rich, it's the lack of effort in getting rich. Now, give me a quick pick. Boy, that was tough. That was difficult. Now I don't have to work for a living.
We have a word for that, slothfulness. That's slothfulness, and people who are slothful, and oftentimes people who are slothful who are buying the lottery tickets. They don't want to get rich by means of hard work and diligence and taking dominion of God's green earth. But I think it is the focus on play, Dave. And it's not to say, we need to be careful, it's not to say that it's wrong to play games. But let me say this, that I think we're far too addicted to games, and we're far too addicted to that adrenaline rush, and we're far too interested in goofing off than we are in taking dominion. There is a command that says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Actually, as it turns out, on the seventh day, God seems to want us to focus a little more on Him, to convocate together and to talk about Him and to worship Him on that one day out of the week. And I don't think there's a lot in the Word of God about play. Now, there is that one command to take a week per year and vacation. We have the Feast of Tabernacles, where God says you ought to be rejoicing before the Lord your God and enjoying these things together. Of course, it isn't just a one-person event. This is an opportunity for us to sit together and enjoy each other's company and rejoice before the Lord your God. And that, of course, is another thing. We can't be saying, okay, God, you don't belong in this casino. You don't belong in this movie theater. You don't belong in this game. We're not going to talk about God. We're not going to think about God. We're not going to worship God. We're going to thank God, because God doesn't belong in our games. And I think this would be a very, very good moderating balance to anybody who's engaging in any form of play or gambling even. They need to understand that whatever they're doing, they need to do it to the glory of God. They need to be able to rejoice before the Lord your God, Coram Deo, in the face of God, if they are to engage in this kind of play.
Kevin, I think in our society at large, we're addicted to our own chemicals that our bodies produce. And those who are in the entertainment industry specialize in trying to provoke a chemical reaction within our brain, whether it be adrenaline in the casinos or in the amusement parks. I mean, what is so fun about a roller coaster? What makes a roller coaster fun? Well, it's the chemicals that our body produces, the sensations produce an adrenaline rush. We come close to death, and we didn't die, and it was fun. And we become addicted to these. In the casinos, we become addicted to the adrenaline rush. It's the sound of the money. It's the occasional winner. It's the bells. It's all of it that addicts us, and keeps people there in those chairs. I mean, grandmother's there, nickel after nickel, all day long. Why is that? Because there's a certain addiction to the chemicals their mind produces. And this becomes an idol.
Yeah.
That we worship that which produces chemicals in us.
And Dave, I think even in the play itself, the play is a metaphor for other things. I mean, okay, let's say you are watching a movie and things turn out well in the end of the movie. And the good guy gets the bad guy and there's redemption themes and so forth and so on. And or you're playing a game and in the end you win the game. Okay, so a good thing happened to you. You were blessed with something at the end of the game. But these are all metaphors, I believe, for something more significant in our lives, something even more enjoyable, and that will be our resurrection and glorification at the end of life. But let's say that somebody is stuck in the metaphor. They're watching these movies that have something about redemption in them. They're participating in these activities that end in a good way, and yet they don't really learn anything from these things that would indicate about something different. In other words, they're lost in the metaphor. All they see is whatever is happening in this metaphor, but the metaphor about redemption doesn't really remind them of the big redemption, the redemption that Jesus paid for our sins. The fact that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and we don't have to worry about an eternal death anymore. We will die one last time, and we will be resurrected forever to never, never, ever worry about the curse of death again. Okay, now that to me is an even better story than this fake metaphor, this fake little story, this fake little game that you played at some point in your life. And if all you played was that game, and you enjoyed fake redemption, and you enjoyed this fake little prize that you got at the end of that game, but in the end, you went to hell, okay? Because you didn't care about what the metaphor stood for. You didn't care about the more significant story in life, which was Jesus dying for our sins and rising from the dead and preempting our resurrection. You didn't care about any of that. You were so lost in the metaphor. Of course, people are so lost in Las Vegas, sitting there in the escape world of gambling, or sitting in the escape world of entertainment and movies and sci-fi crack cocaine novels, and they're so addicted to the escape ramps from the reality of life that they're unable to deal with the real realities of sin and death and hell. And they're unable to really come to grips with the fact that there is a Christ who is risen from the dead, who has conquered death forever, and they cannot celebrate that because they are lost, so lost in the metaphor. They're so lost in the game. And Dave, I think this is the deeper issue, and this is the problem that people wind up having to deal with.
What you're saying, Kevin, is people don't know what's real. Our metaphysics messed up. We don't know what is real. Is the soul real? Is eternity real? Is God real? Is redemption real? And I think our Lord said it very well when he said, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Stakes are pretty high on this one.
Yeah. And or what will man give in exchange for his own soul? You know, Jesus is saying, look, on the one hand, there's all the pleasures of this world. On the other hand, there's your eternal soul.
Okay, you got $50,000 on the table in Las Vegas. $50,000 on the table in Las Vegas. It's your net worth on the table. And you're going to make the $250,000, man. You're gonna pull out the $1 million out of this. Okay, stakes are pretty high on this one. Stakes are pretty high. Wouldn't you say, Dave, you got $50,000 on the table in Las Vegas? The stakes are pretty high. If that's your net worth, yeah. Okay. Jesus is saying, okay, you want to talk about stakes here for a moment? You want to talk about stakes for a moment? Your soul is on the table right now, bro. All right? Your soul is on the table. That $50,000 is nothing, nothing, nothing compared to your soul and the value of your soul. All right, you want to play this game? You want to play this game? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? The real spiritual issues are the things at stake here. And I think it's the games that become the detractors to what's of real issue here. And Dave, the churches in Las Vegas, practically empty. Spiritual condition in that city? Ha! Bankrupt. Terrible.
I long for strong preachers of the Word of God standing up in the public square in Las Vegas and just bringing it down hard into these escapist fantasies that people are living in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid there are just a lot of people everywhere, not just in Las Vegas, who are on the escape ramp from the reality of life. And I think it's time to deal with the real issues in life. And the real issues really constitute who you are and where you stand before the living God. Because I'm here to tell you that God really exists. I mean, if God is not real, nothing's real. And we believe that that's the first predicate in our metaphysical construct. God is real, okay? God is real. God is to be feared, to be respected, to be recognized. And he judges sin. And there is a hell. And people will burn forever in hell if they ignore their souls, if they ignore Christ who came to deliver us from the sin that condemns us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whoever is listening to the program, you need to crack your word. You need to get into the Word of God, start believing it, and teaching it to your children as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. Read the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Live the true metaphor of redemption. You have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, and I hope this program has been helpful to you as we bring a biblical metaphysic, a biblical worldview to bear in the real issues of life. We talk about the real things of life on this program. If you enjoy the program, you want to support this radio program, simply go to kevinswanson.com and click on Support Us Today. Or you can call 888-839-6132. Again, to support our radio program, you call toll free 888-839-6132. And all donations are tax deductible if you would like to support our radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, the culture is embracing nihilism and existentialism, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.